I know the DJ.
Do you?
You gotta
90s baby, stand up.
You're coming back because I'm blowing in it. Pause. I take my craft serious.
Get the hell out of here. I don't owe you shit.
Welcome to episode 74, but I know the DJ, the original New England podcast discussing all things DJing, music, nightlife, business, and pop culture through the unfiltered opinions of host Snacks.
Give me Snacks, baby.
And Cammy V.
DJ Cammy V.
What's up, baby?
Powered by Dope Entertainment. So good to be back, everybody. Once again, Missing Fingers. He's a little
under the weather.
So, You know, unfortunately, he would not be here with us. Blessings and positive vibes to our good fingers. But the show will always go on. Why isn't the fuck this shit working? Hold on.
I'm not fucking leaving.
Why is this sound thing not working?
Is it plugged?
Well, this in the right thing, bro. Put it in the right hole. That's what she said. Oh, it's in the wrong hole.
No,
it's not in the urethra. What's going on with this? Why is this working?
Is it a fucking catheter? Soprano squad. Is that a fucking
bro,
catheter?
What the fuck? Why is this shit fucking working?
I don't know. I have it in the right one, right? Look at me if I'm fucking crazy. That's the right one. That's the only one.
Oh, the volume's not on.
Wow.
Oh!
What a bunch of losers.
Oh, we're back. It's been a while, I feel like.
Apparently, we forget how to fucking use everything.
Sorry, guys.
That's crazy.
But a lot to talk about. A lot going on in the fucking mix. First! Oh, my God. A huge loss, honestly, in the party world, the nightlife world. It's DJ Casper. Of the legendary Cha-Cha Slide. Very fucking sad, actually. 56?
Yeah, I didn't really... I saw the headline come across. Do you have something pulled up here?
Yeah, Chicago native and Cha-Cha Slide creator DJ Casper died. Oh, sorry, 58, excuse me, after cancer battle. So this past May, Casper sat down with ABC 7 Samantha Chapman at his home to talk about his two decades of international fame and his health struggles. It was his last television interview. We have to like really understand like the impact of the Cha-Cha Slide, whether you like it or you're not, or you don't like it, whether you're a private event DJ, club DJ, radio DJ, you know this song, you've heard this song, you've played this song, and this guy is an absolute legend based on that one song. And so unfortunately, you know, though he was battling cancer, he was diagnosed in 2016 with two kinds of cancer. I'm not going to try and pronounce the two and embarrass myself, but,
fair enough.
Ultimately they're kidney and liver. And so, you know, it just kind of happens with, age and, you know, genetics and whatnot. It's very, very sad to hear and see. And, I know Cha-Cha Slide will live on forever.
Dude, probably one of the most infamous songs of all time.
Yeah.
And it's also probably one of the most polarizing songs of all time, kind of what you
insane.
Alluded to. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the story I heard was he just wanted to like make a song for like his like nephew or something. It was like a very wholesome reason why the song came to be. And it obviously just exploded. It's going to live on forever. It's the electric slide. It's the Cupid shuffle. It's all of it. And will be played at weddings and private events and family functions to the end of time.
Huge loss for the DJs over 50 years old.
Yeah, huge loss. And really just, it's just sad. I mean, it's a wholesome record at the end of the day.
No,
it's
it a very wholesome is. Record. Absolutely is. And everyone at the function knows.
Yeah.
It's one of those songs that like you could drop it anywhere and more often than not, people are going to get up and do it. So,
yeah. So rest in peace, DJ Casper. Yeah. You bringing it back in the club to show tribute? I was thinking about it.
I haven't. But I did see something cool on TikTok. I don't know if it was you that sent it to me, where some DJ on TikTok looped Hands on Your Knees, Hands on Your Knees.
Yeah, for the, and then
Shake Some.
So that was DJ Wonder who did that. But I've heard a lot of other DJs do it. And that's just, he's just the first one that I've seen do it.
And that was, honestly, that was before.
Before he passed. Yeah.
So I'm sure if there was ever an opportunity to do it, that's probably how I would bring it in.
Yeah.
So credit where credit's due.
For me, something I do a lot, where the fuck is it?
Oh, I know.
Is this I do a lot at weddings and shit and people go fucking nuts.
Freeze! Everybody clap your hands.
Oh, jeez.
That and your what's the edit? Heads Will Roll.
Yeah.
Everybody clap your hands.
Yeah. The legendary. DJs, I guess you're going to steal it anyway, so just have fun with it, I guess. But rest in peace, DJ Casper. Love and miss you. Thank you for what you did for us and for changing, really, parties in forever around the world.
100%.
Shifting gears. 10 years, man. 10 years is tough.
But don't try to catch me with the shooters.
Dude.
Jesus
Christ. So we talked about Tory Lanez and the whole Megan Thee Stallion thing. Becoming very real.
How are we feeling at this very moment?
You know what's so funny is when we first talked about it, when it was first, like, obviously very hot in media and stuff, we talked about how much it was almost like male versus female, kind of like as far as taking sides.
Very divided.
It's funny because over the weekend, obviously, you know, I see a lot of people and people are talking about it. Are you playing him or whatever? And, you know, I was chatting to a few of the ladies and they're like, yo, free Tory. 100%. And I'm like, what about the whole, like, because at the end of the day, when we think about it, like, it's attempted murder in a sense. Like, that's why he's getting the 10 years.
I mean, essentially,
And they're like, nah. Like, one girl was like, he shot it at the ground. And I was like, whoa. I was like, okay. Like, so I think now that it's becoming real and tangible of his sentence and that it's, like, you know, pretty official. No bond, I think, as Ado confirmed earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he's.
It's looking real scary, real spooky.
Looking slim, and I also read something earlier today that he's only getting 2 hours a day outside of his cell. Now, again, you know, there was always, like, the with the Young Thug trial, right? Like, mm-hmm. His lawyers were kind of putting out that same information, you know, and to serve as a rally cry, you know what I mean? Get people up in arms about it. Like, oh, we got to get him out of there. You know, that's crazy. Exactly. So whether that's true or not, obviously we don't really know, but I mean, if that, man, I wonder how he's, like, really staying positive. You know what time out, though. You know what I also did see? I did read something that he started, like, a prayer group in prison.
Wow.
And one of the guards got interviewed about it and said it was, like, the most moving hour during the day in the prison.
Wow.
And he's like, yeah, very spirit, because apparently he is a spiritual guy. But, like, he
also has a way with words, I'm sure.
Absolutely. You know, with a career in music, right? But the fact that he was able to galvanize all the other prisoners and, like, probably guys that may or may not have been faithful in the past and to pull them in and to have that moment during the day, they said it was, like, very powerful. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Already contributing to the prison, huh? I guess. I mean, guess got to do what you can. I mean, it's one of those things where, obviously, from the details that we do know of the situation, it was very clearly, like, it's not like it was premeditated or anything like that. It was clearly just, like, a series of events and a domino effect where, unfortunately,
one bad decision after another,
and you end up 10 years behind bars, and it's pretty, again, with us not truly knowing about what really, really happened at the end of the day.
Of course, we never will.
We never really will, yeah. And But it's wild. Like, again, it's real. 10 years down.
A guy that's also, but prior to that point, too, super, super active in the music community, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see.
He was a very dynamic artist.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, talent-wise, through the roof, and was really making it and really ahead of leading that new generation of hip-hop and beyond, really.
You know, I will say one thing, too. God knows he's not playing any prison ball with that jumper.
I remember seeing that. She's terrible.
Oh, God. God bless him. Maybe he'll give us some time to work on it.
I was reading how, like, Megan was saying how, like, she hasn't gone a day without, like, hearing about it and getting, like, you know, people shouting at her about it. It's just interesting.
It's a lose-lose, to be honest.
It is a lose-lose, but I just feel like I'm not hearing so much of the Megan support right now.
I
remember
it
was, like, so big that, like, everyone was like, you know, protect women and everything. And obviously we're always team protect women, but I'm just kind of curious of where that went.
Yeah. You know what else is interesting, dude? Not the more I think about this. Do you see Iggy Azalea wrote a letter to the judge?
I did see that. Oh, he threw that shit down on her, bro. Had to. That's mad random.
I said the same thing. I'm like, she came to his defense a little too strong.
What do you mean about that? Well, too strong for what? What do you mean?
To feel like she was obligated to send a letter to the judge asking the judge to essentially pardon the sentence. Be like, oh, no, that's not him. This definitely didn't happen type stuff. It's like, really?
Interesting.
It was interesting. And I also thought it was a little interesting to lead off with. The first whole page of the thing was like talking about her and her musical accomplishments.
Oh,
like
geez.
As if that fucking matters.
That took up a whole page.
That took a whole page, dude. Go check it out. I was like, what?
I'm gonna write a letter.
Yeah, interesting. All interesting developments.
Tory Lanez. I mean, we'll see.
I know your guess is as good as mine, bro.
Yeah, who fucking knows? And I mean, at that point, 10 years, the world is different. Music is different.
Everything's different.
You know, who knows if you'll be able to come back and be able to hopefully become a star again. It's tough to say.
You know, before we move on to the next segment here, I'm going to pose a question for you. Who is probably the last artist to come out of prison and actually have a super, super successful career? And I'm talking like prolonged period of time.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Like
yeah,
Gunna,
yeah.
Gunna was in prison for what, like less than a year? Young Thug, less than a year. So I'm talking like prolonged period of time. Who do you think was the best? Was the last artist to come out of prison?
How long
a good
was
career?
Gucci in for? Gucci was.
That's
in
a good
for,
question.
For a
I don't
minute.
Really know. There's a few.
I think Gucci was gone for a minute, and then he came back with like the weight loss and all that shit.
Oh yeah,
and he pretty much he was in for 3 years and 3 months. Is that long enough?
That's pretty long. Yeah, I guess that's probably a good take.
And he's been cute, like he's
yeah
kind of like remained relevant in the trap scene and like became skinny. And
because then you look at guys like Bobby Shmurda, for example,
who
was
hasn't
like
done shit
super hot, yeah, like yeah. red hot, and
he's
then
someone that I wish was my answer. You know what I mean?
I was hoping he'd have a glorious comeback.
I'm trying to think of the OGs because like
T.I. did T.I. do jail time?
I don't remember.
I feel like he might have. He did. I think he did later on in his career.
Wayne did some time.
Yeah, that was also someone that came to mind, but I didn't know how
long.
Yeah, because remember he got put in solitary confinement because he was doing the verses on his phone. That's what made me think of the question.
Lil Wayne presences. 8 months in, 8 months of a 1 year, so that's not that long.
No.
And then I was thinking of people like Tupac or something. Yeah. But he wasn't in too long.
Right. Interesting. We're gonna have to.
It might be Gucci.
Yeah, it probably would be. We're gonna clip this. We're gonna put it on Instagram. I want to see the comments on this one. I'm actually interested
to
see
who's the best artist to come back from a long jail sentence and be able to get their footing back and get back in the game, just as maybe as they left or even better. Good question, Kim. You love that.
Thank you.
Something not as kind of funny. Actually, I think it's fucking funny.
Okay.
Blindside. Subject: Michael Orr alleges the Tuies made millions off of a lie. Retired NFL star Michael Orr, whose supposed adoption out of a grinding poverty by a wealthy white family was immortalized in the 2009 movie The Blind Side, petitioned a Tennessee court Monday with allegations that a central element of the story was a lie concocted by the family to enrich itself at his expense. I mean, I'm sure we all seen the movie The Blind Side, Oscar winning.
Great movie.
Sandy Bullock went crazy.
As she does.
The 14-page petition filed by Shelby County, Tennessee probate court alleges that Sean and Lee Ann Tuie, who took Orr into their home as a high school student, never adopted him. Instead, less than 3 months after Orr turned 18 in 2004, the petition says the couple tricked him into signing a document making them his conservators, which gave them legal authority to make business deals in his name. So that's the key thing, that they didn't adopt him. They became his conservators.
So similar to like the Britney Spears saying conservatorship.
Kind of,
right?
Yeah. In a sense, I mean, obviously different situation, but
right.
But technically in a sense, I think this is like, I think the timing is interesting.
Well,
you know, the movie came out like 10 years ago.
Yeah, at least. Yeah probably
it's
more.
2009.
Holy shit.
15 years ago, the guy's out of the league.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Career's done.
Yeah,
dude, and I remember, so to your point, Snacks, I do remember when the movie came out, he was pissed about his portrayal in the movie, and he was, like, very vocal about that, too. He's like, essentially, for lack of better terms, he's like, I look like a fucking pussy in this movie. Like, this sucks, you know? Yeah. And so I knew there was some level of animosity there.
Mm-hmm.
But the timing is little
so
suspicious,
random.
Right?
Yeah, when I first saw the headline, I started like dying laughing. I'm like, this is so fucking random. And
yeah,
like
I don't know.
And especially it's like completely going against what everything that movie stands for.
100%.
Like, the whole thing is like this wholesome story of this guy making it with the help of whatever. And
yeah.
Now he's like suing them. Like, I think that's so fucking funny.
The irony in this.
Yeah, so ironic. I mean, I remember also when that movie first dropped, there was a lot of issues from people just seeing it as like kind of like the white help, you know what I mean, of like, oh, like black people or African Americans can't do anything without the help of a white person. I remember that was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I was like, it's a true story. And it was a true story. But again, I guess.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. And then I guess seeing, you know, this kind of unfold. Again, I'm sure maybe he like was talking to a lawyer or something. And they were like, yo, like, what's good with this?
Yeah.
Or maybe he wasn't really getting any of the money from the movie or whatever. Like,
could also be a thing.
Because
yeah.
I know that part of this, allegation or whatever is what he wants out of it is for him to get all the money that was being accounted for of them using his likeness. I'm sure he's like not really getting much of that back end since he has conservators. You know what I mean? So maybe
is he still under the conservatorship? Like,
I don't know. I think that's what might be like the whole thing is like to end it and they'd be like, all this money that you got off of me needs to come back to me.
Yeah.
Which I get. But again, part of me is like, if they really did help you and really did give you this life and give you this opportunity to go to the league and all that shit and this fucking movie, like, I don't know. It's easier to be said than done, especially looking out the outside. But I'm kind of like, damn, like, these people kind of gave you, like, a lot of shit.
Yeah, they put you on.
They put you on heavy.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you, like, bite the hand that feeds you type shit. So I think it's interesting. I think we'll it's interesting to see what happens. But what we team Michael, team Sandy, what are we doing?
Team Sandy, dude. I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm gonna see how this one plays out. Obviously, you know, you see a polarizing headline like that. There's definitely two sides to a story.
Yeah.
But again, I'm with you. Obviously, like it could be 100% true is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's not the case, but. The timing does make me scratch my head a little bit. Like, why now?
What the fuck is going on?
Why now? Maybe, I don't know. Usually, sometimes you'll see, like, when guys, NFL money, like, that contract money, once it dries up a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying.
They
start reaching for, oh, what do we got here?
Breaking news. Books! Oh, he has a book?
He's got a book.
Oh, shit. He just dropped a fucking book.
So his book basically had all these allegations in it.
Oh, shit. A promotional thing. Oh, this makes all the sense, bro. So Ada with the research here. So he just dropped a book August 8th, which is like, what, a week ago?
Yeah.
When your back's against the wall, fame, football, and lessons learned through a lifetime of adversity, that he co-wrote. So, obviously, I'm sure a lot of the information came out of the research and shit and the digging for this book. And then I'm sure his lawyers were like, let's wait to make this happen. So, coincide with the drop of the book. Business, huh?
Wow.
So, I don't know. Do we feel bad if it's for the promo? Because he's going to eat off the book. But do they get money
off the
from
book?
The book? Oh,
it's a vicious cycle.
It's a cycle that will never end.
It's a nightmare.
Jesus. We'll see what happens. Shit, I might get the book.
We're going to have to find out.
Oh,
thank you, Ado.
Thank you, Ado. Always coming in with the goods. Something that dropped last week that obviously got everybody up in arms for different reasons. Complex. We love Complex. We love and we hate
They're
Complex.
Love-hate relationship.
Sometimes they do great.
Stop posting set lists. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking for anything crazy, bro. Stop posting set lists. That's all.
Complex gives us hot ones, though. Love hot ones.
Big hot ones guy.
Big hot ones guy.
Who's your favorite hot ones guest celebrity?
I have different answers. Like, Salma Hayek is just, I could stare at her for hours. Stare at her eating wings for hours. And she bodies the wings, bro. She bodies them.
Love that energy. I'll tell you,
ooh,
mom.
Yeah, please do.
Post Malone was one of my favorite
Post
ones
Malone
on
was a good one.
He was great.
Post Malone. Did he do two?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think he did two.
He did do two, yeah.
His OG one is hilarious, though. Yeah,
the first one, yeah.
Got some more information from producer EJ, who has a... putting in a vote for going back to the rapper who's... or artist who's gone into jail and come back kind of strong for Boozy. Lil Boozy. Boozy Badass. Who was in jail for 5 years.
What was the...
possession of marijuana, violating parole, and conspiring to bring drugs into a penal institution.
Boozy, what are you doing? How long ago was that, though?
So he's incarcerated 2009, released in 2014.
When did, like, Independent come out?
Before that.
Well.
But, I mean...
He's still pretty like, relevant. Super relevant, but like,
and I think he's had like some features and shit,
but like not for musical reasons.
Oh. He's an interesting, EJ. Thank
good
you.
Good take.
EJ, appreciate you. Put Cream back on. Oh,
sorry.
Why are we playing Cream? Complex, for better for worse, releases 50 best New York rappers of all time ranked. Oh, we've done many reviews on Complex lists, and they're usually all over the place. And this one, I went through it. You have not seen this list
yet. I haven't seen it. I love when we do that. I just download.
Yeah, it's good.
Get the organic reaction.
I think it's okay.
Okay.
There's some omissions that are pretty wild, but we'll go through a couple of them.
All right.
So obviously we're going to go bottoms up. Number 50.
Nas, just kidding.
Insane. Number 50 is actually kind of wild because it's recent success.
Okay.
But how do we start balancing legacy, success, popularity, virality?
Should I guess?
If you're confident.
Is it Favi? Favi O'Foreign?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's Ice Spice.
Ooh.
Number 50 best New York rappers of all time. Ice Spice number 50 leading the charge when Munch took over the streets of New York a year ago. The quicksand quality of Ice Spice's rhyme and rhythm, courtesy of her soundcrafter Riot USA, amassed a crowd of head scratchers and boppers alike. Ice was and is having fun with it, and many assumed the moment would equate to an evanescent flatline ascent. But as we all know, she's fucking killing it.
Still killing it.
She has multiple hits and is doing really fucking good. Her new joint, Deli, son?
What? I played it this weekend.
That shit went crazy.
Dude, I feel it.
Her shit fucking rings, bro.
I wonder how it's going to age all of her songs, because could she be falling into that trap like DaBaby did, where like every new song that he's pumping out is like his hottest song?
So I saw this thing on TikTok where this guy was like, it's so interesting how Ice Spice has gotten all this hate when she is just a female version of Pop Smoke. And so at first I was like, okay, both drill, both New York. And then he started rapping Ice Spice's lyrics like Pop Smoke, like doing an impression of him. And I was like, every line sounds like something he would say.
That's interesting.
And then all the comments were like, holy shit. Like, it's so true. Mm. They are the exact same rapper. Just one's a girl, one's a guy. And think about that.
Like,
let's do Deli. I'm playing the song right now. Like, hold on. First of all, the ad libs. Like, right? Right? Is that kind of interesting to think about?
It is interesting.
Everyone loved Pop Smoke. Everyone couldn't get enough of Pop Smoke.
Still can't. Interesting,
huh?
Makes you think. Makes you think.
49, we have Pharoah Monch for probably Simon Says Alone. 48, Diddy. 47, Biz Markie. You made a face at Diddy. What do we think?
48?
So I think more of his influence is as a producer.
I agree, but okay. If we're looking strictly through rap.
I think by association is why he's as low as 48, but also as high as 48. His rapping ability is really bad.
It's not great.
But, I mean, if we look at his, like, discography, it's all, records. Like, it's pretty bulletproof.
Records.
I get 48.
Okay.
47, Biz Markie, rest in peace. 46, Styles P. Mm-hmm. Of the Lox.
Mm-hmm.
45, Jim Jones. I'm going to say right now, Jim Jones is on this list. Joel Santana is not on this list. Not on this list at all.
Interesting.
Yep. Going up a little bit, we have some mentions from some like underground guys. Sean Price at 42, 41. ASAP Rocky makes his appearance here.
Mm-hmm.
39, Nori. 38, mm-hmm. MC Light, shout out my female rappers. 37, Ja Rule. Ja Rule found a way to make a lane for his melodic flows and R&B hits while still keeping it gangster. The Queens rapper followed a blueprint that artists like LL Cool J created for how New York acts would navigate the delicate line of making love songs while still maintaining street's credibility. As of right now, I know Ja Rule makes a lot of mini headlines saying that he was the original Drake with the whole rapping and keeping shit.
Yeah, but he can't sing like Drake, let's be real. But I do agree he made the records similar
the
records.
I agree. Going back and forth between rapping, like, cuz yep. There was a point where Ja Rule was that fucking guy.
I know. Yeah.
That fucking guy. 34, we have Foxy Brown. 33, Jizza of the Wu-Tang Clan. 32, Fabulous.
Mm.
I think Fabulous is an amazing rapper.
I think he's, I mean, viciously underrated. Viciously.
I agree.
And to be honest, too, I mean, obviously, at any opportunity, we always try to bring Drake into a conversation. But
sure.
Fabulous is one of Drake's most influential artists.
Has that been said?
He's said it multiple times.
I like that. Yeah. He's such an interesting rapper.
He's great.
Because I feel like he's never been the best.
You know,
he's consistent.
He's like similar. And again, like I'm not talking like lyrically or bar for bar, but I feel like he's a similar artist to Pusha T, where like he doesn't really get the accolades or the respect that he actually deserves.
Well, I think he gets the respect. I think it's the support or the accolades for sure.
I think he gets the respect from his peers, but you know, like I'm sure, like as Pusha does. You know?
I think like real rap fans like know Fabulous is like that guy.
He's certified.
Like, I think he's certified in the street. Certified. Like if you really know rap. But again, I think if you listen to, if you ask like a Gen Z hip hop listener, and you're like, "Yo, Fabulous," they'll be like, "Who?"
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's unfortunate.
And so right above him, we have Fat Joe at 31. Above him, we have Cool G Rap, super OG.
Joey Crack.
29, Big L.
Rest in peace.
Big L's in a lot of people's like top 10, like rappers in general, not just New York. But sure, I'm sure the short-lived, you know, not have, what he did in his time was incredible, but maybe that's probably what's kind of limiting him. 28, Mace. Pretty high.
That is pretty high. Good for him.
Yeah, pretty high.
Probably from, obviously, most of his records were radio hits anyway,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I think he's a little overrated.
See how it plays out.
27 right above him, Pop Smoke.
That's fair. It's
pretty high.
Think about the impact of music today. Got to give it to him. And his records still hit still around.
Yeah. So you asked.
Because, again, I'm assuming I probably know who's at least one or two artists in the top five that probably aren't still with us today. And if we're going to give them the liberty of like, oh yeah, you know, like they tragically died and their discog will live forever.
I see what you're saying.
Got to give the same nod.
Good point.
Thank you.
Say it. Damn, you sold me. But you know, you mentioned Favi earlier. If Pop Smoke's 27, I don't think we're seeing Favi at all.
Probably not.
Yeah. Saw his bias though. 26, Raekwon, right above him. 25, Cardi Bizzle.
Cardi!
I mean, she's huge right now. She's hot right now. And has been for the last 5 years. She's doing her thing. 24, Q-Tip.
Yep.
23, Run from Run DMC. 22, Chuck D from Public Enemy. 21, Method Man. I think that's makes sense. Now we're in the top 20. Slick Rick. Top 20 in influence alone, I think. You know, influence alone. Big Daddy Kane at 19. 18, Mos Def.
Yep.
17, your boy Cam'ron.
Kill it.
16, Jadakiss. I think this is good. This top 20 is pretty fucking awesome.
I have no arguments on this set.
Big Pun at 15. 14, MF Doom.
Yep.
Very underrated guy.
Yep.
13, Ghostface Killah. I would argue this one.
Who would you...
I don't think he's better than Pun. I don't think he's better than Jadakiss. I don't think... He's better than Cam'ron. Mos Def. So I think I would put him at 17. Yeah.
But not egregious, though.
No, I think... But 13's really high. Respect him. He's a fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he's like eight spots above Method Man? Math.
What number was Method Man?
21 and he's 13.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't put them that far apart, to be honest.
I mean, I agree with you.
But I know, I'm sure there's going to be some Ghostface Killah fans in here that are going to rip me apart.
As they do.
12, Lil' Kim.
Yep.
Which might be...
Probably the highest
female. Lil' Kim's influence on fashion is undeniable, but we can't ignore her prowess as a rapper. She stormed the industry in the 1996s, hardcore using explicit imagery, which was basically what Cardi B's doing now, she was doing in the 90s. Who can forget the album poster of Kim crouched down with her legs propped open and songs that were equally as explicit. Kim was the only woman in junior Junior Mafia, a rap group formed under the tutelage of the late Biggie Smalls, debuted during a time when being sexually provocative wasn't the norm for women rappers. Mm. So at that time, we had like a Queen Latifah with Unity, you know, with MC Light, you know what I'm saying? So like her coming out with being fucking raunchy.
Raunchy is crazy. Dude. Yeah.
So she's think, that girl,
influence
yeah.
alone. Yeah. Think about escaping music today.
Yeah. 11 Prodigy of the super influential Mobb Deep. I think it's, you know, Havoc being the producer of the duo, but he also rapped. Like, he has the second verse on Shook Ones.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting how much they split the two. Mm. Like, usually on a duo like that, I feel like if we think of, like, Outkast, you know, I think Andre would always be ranked higher, but Big Boy's right there usually. Yeah. I think it's very interesting when people split Mobb Deep like that.
That's fair.
KRS-One, top 10. KRS-One, number 10. Number 9. Actually, let's do this. So we're in the top 10. You know KRS-One has one spot, 9 spots left. And you know who we haven't said yet.
Yeah, of course.
Do you have any idea of who's going to be on this top 10 here?
I could probably name the top 3.
Let's go for it.
It's interesting.
In order?
Yeah, in order.
Okay.
I'm going to go Nas.
At what?
3.
Okay.
Biggie.
At 2.
Jay-Z.
Sorry, I'm just writing these down just for record. I know the answer, so, but...
Okay. We'll find out. I guess we'll find out.
Can you go under those? Do you think you can do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9?
I just want to do top 3.
Okay.
It's been a long day.
Oh, sorry. Number 9, Busta Rhymes.
Valid.
I like it. Number 8 from Yonkers, DMX. Valid.
Valid.
The actual top female... Ooh. Nicki Minaj, Nicki Lewinsky, Nicki the Ninja. Number 7.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Okay.
Greatest female rapper of all time.
Yeah. Okay. I'm cool with it.
You're cool with it?
I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it.
Over DMX?
Cool with it.
Oh, okay.
Cool with it.
Number 6. 50 Cent. I like
Valid?
It.
Valid?
Good. Here. I'm here for it.
This isn't terrible, dude. This
5. LL Cool J.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Dude, I'm really not upset here.
Number 4, Rakim.
Come on. There.
Number 3, we have Nas. Number 2, we have Notorious B.I.G. And number 1, we have Hova, Jay-Z. So that is the list. Yeah, I mean, you got it.
Thank you, bro. and truth, swear to God, I didn't even look at this.
It's
stuff.
It's hard to argue this top 10.
It's hard. It's almost hard to argue the top 15. Like, it's really not that bad. It's really not that bad.
I'm glad that Jadakiss is as high as he is. I'm glad that Big Pun is as high as he is. But a solid list. I mean, I knew that some people on Twitter were like, I think Jay-Z always has the haters being the most successful rap entity of all time. You know what I mean? Business-wise and career-wise and everything like that. But I think there's no denying that his resume is just untouchable.
Yeah, when who else is going to get on this list? Who else is going to get a fucking thing at the museum?
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
You know?
And then Biggie at 2, I think that was what kind of you were alluding to with just the whole, you know, posthumous, like, legacy and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But he's one of my favorite rappers of all time. Just an incredible talent.
Yep.
And then Nas, you know, despite my opinions in the past, like, I think is perfectly fitting at number 3.
Well placed.
Rakim also was like, was a soul ahead of his time, super spitter. I like this list. Complex did well. I think Complex did pretty well.
What's been the reception online about the list?
The reception has
Ja Rule been crying about it or what?
So I think the biggest thing was were the omissions. I should have fucking screenshot. I saw it on a Facebook comment. Someone made a list. He's like, these are all people that aren't on it. And I think like Scarface was one. Beanie Siegel was one. Joel Santana was one that I mentioned.
Right.
Like, I don't know if Jim Jones is a better rapper than Joel's. I don't know.
I don't think so, but
Joel's just like younger, I guess. There's a few that like I was like reading and I was like, oh shit, like I can't believe these people aren't in it.
Yeah.
There was one that I'm forgetting that was like, yo, there's no way they should like not be in this. But so yeah, that was the thing that people were arguing. And then obviously like Jay-Z just has mad haters. So a lot of people are like, Jay-Z is not actually the number one rapper and shit like that.
Would they put Biggie?
A lot of people say Nas, honestly. That Nas should be number one.
Dude, he's got the best fans in the world. He's got the best fans in the world.
All these 40-year-old rap fans, man. Crazy on Facebook. Crazy on the Facebook.
Crazy on the MySpace, man. That's wild. Good for him.
ASAP Ferg being in a mission was one.
Bro, I told you.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But yeah, good list, Complex. Let us know what you guys think of this list. Who you think this list is missing? If you would move anybody, and if any of our opinions were completely off in your opinion, please let us know. But this is the 50 best New York rappers of all time, ranked by Complex. And as always, thank you so much for listening. This is By Know the DJ. This is Cammy V. This is Snacks. This is Dope Entertainment. Shout out everybody supporting, listening. We can't wait to hear your feedback and what you think of today's show. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, buddy. Peace.